Okay, I've got 9:04 a.m. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court were present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you that are participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you would need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. God, our Father in heaven, we come before you today humbly asking for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, during these times of trials and tribulations and tragedies, we find comfort in you walking us through this. And even though oftentimes we may not understand what you have planned for us, we can again take solace in the fact that it is part of your plan. And God, we would ask that for those that have been touched by tragedies and health-related issues and just trials and tribulations, we would ask that you place a special blessing upon them because they are certainly trying times for many people. Lord, and that's not just locally, but that's globally. Lord, we would humbly ask that you continue to bless Coryell County and the local area with fair weather and many rains as we enter into the agricultural season that so many of us rely on and depend upon. And Lord, as always, we would ask a hand of wisdom and guidance on this court, setting aside egos and personal agendas, and so that we could just honestly do, what's in the best interest of the citizens of Coryell County and brings honor to glory and glory to you in heaven. We ask all these things in our Son's holy name. Amen. We pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number five on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. Noting that there are four items there to be considered. You can choose to approve the consent agenda as presented, or you may choose to have any or all of those to be considered individually.
I make a motion to accept consent agenda A, B, C, and D.
Second.
Got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number five? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number six on the agenda is the Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham.
Good, second part of the month. Been crushing rock, seal, pimple in preparation for our projects. Aided the city down here in some work during the disaster. Only other thing we kind of wanted to point out was bids that went out. I don't think they aired in the paper, and I didn't know how to handle that. So we have a little time. If they air this Saturday, next Saturday, it should be okay, but I'd have to go back with the dates. So
I think within the confines and the structure of the agenda, I think I can address that at this point because it's going to affect some other agenda items as well. I have been in contact with the Gatesville Messenger. It is my understanding that they're going to continue to operate and they're going to continue to publish as well as they did not have a paper that was put out last week, but from the communications I had with them up to yesterday is they intend on having a publication this coming week because there are certain items that we do have to put in there. There's two from last week, at least one from this week that's going to need to be in that. Should the messenger not be able to perform that function in the near future, this court will have to make a decision upon designating a newspaper of general circulation within the county to be able to publish legal notices. It doesn't affect just commissioner's court and bids. I mean, there's publications with the district courts, the county court of laws, the JP courts. I mean, the county clerk, sheriff's office, district clerk, all of those have certain publication requirements. I do have Ms. Roebuck confirming that they're going to have a publication this week. I don't have that confirmed, but that is my belief at this point. Okay. So those notices that were previously approved will be in the newspaper, and we'll continue to keep the court updated and our departments aware of kind of where that stands, because there are some statutory requirements. I can't tell you that I'm prolific on all of them at this point, but we will have to make that designation in the event that the Gatesville Messenger, which has historically been our paper of general publication, what the alternatives and options are with the other newspapers operating in the county, as well as options for newspapers outside the county.
That was my only concern, just making sure, because I believe statutory requirements, I have to air it, or for us to air it for 2 weeks.
Correct.
I need to go back and confirm the dates, but I believe if it goes up this Saturday and next Saturday, that will achieve our 2 weeks.
So did it not run at all?
Don't make it run in paper.
The first, so the only thing it ran on the previous one.
I need to confirm some of these dates. It might have ran the first. I need to check that for please. Because we have.
Depending on when we.
On the 10th, didn't it?
It very well could have run at the 14th, but not the
21st.
Correct.
So if it runs 28th, but I guess if it ran the 14th to 28th, I think you'd be fine.
It runs the 21st and 28th, and that's just 12 days from the 2nd. That's just 12 days from the 28th to the 10th. I'd love to see.
Now, see, then the 14th is when we award them, the 10th when I'll open them, I believe. But if it ran the 28th and the 4th, that would probably still be set up the day, I think, as long as you're not some kind of caveat that's run the system. Second. Oh, I'll track those days down. Judge and policeman.
Yeah, if we can crosstalk that, and then we can figure out where that needs to be. And again, it leads into, well, some unknowns that we need some answers for that I can't provide you.
So if it doesn't, Judge, I don't really not think that we have to redo it. I think we could redo it based on the prior commissioner's court action and just fix the dates, not bring it, not wait and bring it back to go out again. You'll already be able to go out. We'll just fix the notice, change the dates, push them, get it done.
I concur with that, Mr. Belt, because I believe the court's action wasn't predicated on dates. It was predicated on publishing the notice to bid and then the timelines that were built into that. I believe that there's some flexibility there without having to come back to the court. Does that?
I agree. Yes, sir. I just want to make sure.
Okay.
That nobody on court that had anything different said about that. So we didn't, if we can't make it, this timeline as previously published, then nobody has a problem with us redoing the timeline and getting them up in the court whenever the time runs.
Right. Okay.
That's all I had to do.
Anything else for
Justin?
Mr. Latham, yes, that for Roden Bridge.
Yes, sir.
I say this a lot and I repeat myself, many times, but I say it with all sincerity. I appreciate what you do in more this past week than anything. The response, and I'll tell you very humbly, I've got a younger sister who lives in Dallas, and she'd seen some of the pictures and the updates, and her response was, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't want to read off my phone, but her response was, "Wow, how can y'all do that quickly?" Which is a credit to the neighborhood attitude that I think we share and support within Coryell County, whether it's Gatesville or Coppers Cove, Evant, Oglesby, Jonesboro, whoever. Just so you have an idea of people from a different scale see some of these things and they respond with, "Wow, how do you do that quickly?" So I appreciate that. And he doesn't want to recognize it, but Mr. Latham did take a little smattering of glass while doing some of the demo. So these items, these things that are done, aren't done without some level of risk. So we're thankful that you're safe, and even more thankful for your skills in being able to take care of that stuff and getting 84 open back up. Apologize for being a little bit long-winded. Item number seven is to consider the service agreement with Waste Management for dumpster service for the Road and Bridge Department. That contract went out in your packets. It is designated for a three-year period. I just wanted to make that very clear to everyone. But this is a standard contract that we've had with Waste Management for several years. Mr. Latham, anything that you would have to add for the contract with Waste Management?
So this does not fund a road and bridge. It was brought to our attention, and the auditor in the past typically addressed these contracts. I don't know. I think it comes out of general fund. I don't know where it's funded from, but for some reason it came across our desk, and Rachel had me review it, and it showed a three-year term in there, so I just said I couldn't execute that. Send it to the court. Go forward. There was some kind of billing issue she had called, and we normally don't see the bills. There was say $100 or $200 higher, and she caught that. Kind of negotiated with them, got them sent that to us, and then we just kind of stopped there, brings to the court's attention, 3-year contract. Or by signing that, it had a term in there being the 3 years or something. Which it's kind of more the not just road and bridges dumpster. Yes, we utilize it a lot. The sheriff's department, all the stuff picked up on the side of the road, a couple of departments use it. So.
Maintenance. I'd make a motion to approve that agreement for Waste Management.
Second.
Got a motion to approve the contractual agreement with Waste Management from Commissioner Matthews. Second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number seven? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number eight is discussion and action to approve the notice to bid for the Road and Bridge Department. Again, this goes under the bridge bid that had previously been listed, but we got it corrected and put on this particular agenda. So this is nothing more than the approval to publish the invitation to bid.
I make a motion that we accept Road and Bridge to go out for bid, the bridge bid, CCRB 2026-04.
Got a motion to approve the invitation to bid from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number eight? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 8A is discussion and update on the transition of IT services. Had a real good meeting with Goldsmith last Thursday or Friday. when days are running together.
3:30, whatever.
Was it Friday morning, Judge?
Friday morning, was it Friday morning? Okay. I'm encouraged that we're making good progress just across the board and getting everybody transitioned. The big highlights were that transitioning the sheriff's office to the new .gov email addresses. I believe there's one or two outliers that they're still working on there, as well as transitioning the tax office to the .gov email addresses. The big ticket items that they're currently working on are the transition of the sheriff's department to the new E4 software, which is still ongoing. And then the next big jump that they will have is transitioning the tax office to their new cloud-based software. And if you remember, that's one of the things that we approved during the last budget cycle. I believe they had listed that particular software transition, the go live date being March 30th. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? So in about a week, should be, and there should really be nothing that the general public will see. It is just going from server based software to cloud based software within that. And I think I'm saying that correctly. So to that end, they also indicated that we are only one server away from them having all of our backups done, taking care of our own internal backups, as well as they've initiated, we've had initial discussions, and they're still doing discussions about the regional, the RSOC, Regional Security Operations Center, which we passed an agreement with to be able to transition some of those security functions to them. And again, that will be right now that's state funded. So that's no cost to the county in providing those services, which we had previously paid for. There are a couple of hardware replacement items that we're going to address, I believe, on April 2nd is our next meeting. Is that April 2nd? A couple of items for hardware and kind of what we're going to look for replacements within our current budget structure. And then we're also going to begin the initial phases of analysis of what does Goldsmith recommend to us moving forward into FY27. I believe I've hit the highlights. Commissioner Weddle, your notes?
My notes, two things. The elevator and fire panel in the historic courthouse. Of course, the top of the line was burnt, but they think that the way to go back is cellular anyway. They said it's more reliable. Over time, it'll be, you know, cheaper to maintain. So I think they're already.
Yes, I got them to the foyer, and they're all on the same page.
Yep, in the process of that. And then TLET's transition for the DA's office is supposed to be complete by 31st of March. And then the judge referenced a, we're going to have a live meeting on Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. It's not a court meeting. It's just the meeting with the transition team. And that's to go over the procurement process, which we've, you know, that was the procurement process before the belt. And so we're running into, we don't know what to do when somebody's computer crashes. Who signs off on that? How do we keep that, you know, process, you know, moving? So hopefully we're going to devise a process and a plan to present to the court so that we can kind of follow it. But I would also suggest, I guess, if you guys have any specific ideas about how that would look, probably send those to either Sam, you know, Goldsmith, for probably, yeah, I'd send it to Sam. You know, it, just, you know, I mean, there could be emergency There could be, you know, just a, you know, need to replace, and then a, you know, want to have kind of stuff, and then dollar values that would be attached to that. That we don't need to put Goldsmith in, well, put them in that position to approve them. But that'll be April 2nd at 9:30 a.m. That kind of sum that up.
I think it does. I believe we've got Mr. Walliver with us from Goldsmith. Steve, is there anything that you had to add that we might have missed in the summary of our most recent meeting?
No, sir. I think you covered it pretty well.
Okay. I appreciate you being here with us, and thank you. Any questions or comments under item number 8A?
I've got a few. I don't know if you probably didn't see the tickets that came in this morning, because one of them just came in at 8:57 a.m., but...
No, I did not see that.
So this one, Sheriff, replacement for CCSO S1. The ticket is, the mayor reports that UPS providing power to CCSO S1, Grove County Sheriff's Office domain controller, says it needs a battery replacement, has a runtime of 0 minutes. So this is a battery backup at the sheriff's office. It is dead, I guess. And so they're just going to leave it sitting there dead until after April 2nd? Or, I mean, it would seem to me like things like this. I mean, I talked to Spencer about it the other day. He was in my office when we had our IT transition meeting. You know, in the past, things like this, you know, they sent them to me. You know, I approved them because it's a battery backup that they're saying, I mean, this is Namir that says it's dead. It has a runtime of 0 minutes. You know,
I don't see why we don't keep
all the same system.
Right.
You know,
that's what
until
I
until
it's a battery backup.
Yeah.
That is dead. Namir says it's dead. And then I have no idea what's going on with the dispatch computers. But so this morning at 8:48 a.m., Mr. Spencer sent a ticket in. The indicator light came on the main server, CCSO S1. I don't know if that's because of battery backup, because this battery backup goes to that CCSO S1 also. This is the main server at the sheriff's office. It's plugged into a battery backup that has a zero runtime. That seems like something we probably don't want to wait till April 2nd to get them to deal with. It's the main server at the sheriff's office. I mean, this just came in, like I said, 8:48, 8:49, 8:57 this morning. So let's see, this one came in at 8:26 this morning. Dispatch, procure two new desktops for dispatch. So this ticket must be one that's been in progress for a day or two. But I don't know for sure. It looks like Spencer had sent some pictures of the fan and it looked to me like the hard drive out of a computer. It had all the little deals on it, you know, the little wires, all the little transistors and stuff. So I guess it's dying. I don't know if that's the dispatch computer that's dying or what, but I thought this came from Steve. Steve's on there. No, let me see who this come from.
The battery backup, Mr. Belt, we are in the process of determining if we can get a battery to replace that or just replace the whole system. We were looking to see what model it is. We couldn't find it on the website, so we may just send a new one out. That does not have to wait on the meeting on the 2nd. We understand that needs to happen. That alarm light on the server was power backup related. So we reset that, and that amber light went away. It's showing that there's no battery backup. So that's what that is. We're in the process of taking care of that. As for the dispatch computers, we're going out to get quotes on that, and we'll bring that to yourself and the judge and the commissioner's court as soon as we have that ready.
They're not dead. They're dying. They're just.
Yes. Yes. And it looks like the components, that fan component is built into the motherboard. So that's why we can't just replace the fan right now. That's why we're looking at replacing the machines.
Steve, thank you. Mr. Bell's kind of given a head nod. I think you might have answered most of his questions.
Okay, I got it. Thank you.
I know what their answer is. If one of those dispatchers, if that fan dies tonight at 3 o'clock in the morning while dispatch is sitting there trying to do their job, I assume that we're going to get it replaced before noon tomorrow. Somebody is going to replace it, and y'all are just going to approve it, and we're going to move on. But I don't have that authority. But we're not going to let dispatch sit there with a dead computer, obviously. But who has authority to say replace it?
I think Commissioner Matthews summed it up. You had the authority prior, right? You handled all of this before. We just
I know you resigned from it.
Yeah, but yeah. You may have resigned, but
accepted until 2027, I think.
I was just saying
something like that.
But even people who go into retirement, you know, still. So yeah, I think we just got to, you know, until we get a clear, you know, pathway, because we know what's coming. We're not going to have, you know, Mr. Bell doing that. Then we've got to come up with a new plan. But in the meantime, I think you just got to use your discernment. And I don't think we need a motion for that or anything. I'm not aware of it. We've been doing it that way for umpteen years.
I don't buy nothing that ain't dead. But if these
right.
folks that yeah. say this is dead and we got to do it, it kind of leaves everybody hanging if somebody doesn't say, yes, replace that. I mean, they were replacing the battery backup.
Right.
I guess I don't know under what authority, but I'm happy they are. They need to.
Emergency.
And we're going to pay for it whenever the bill comes in. I feel confident, but it's got to be done. But, okay. Yeah. I'm happy.
Sorry on the 2 year.
I'm happy.
Anything else to cover under item number 8A? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 9, which is update and actions on grants to include but not limited to. And I will preface this by saying that due to federal government actions and inactions, there's really been nothing advanced on many of these. So with that, the HMP was still under a you know,
I have become the squeaky wheel, Judge.
I'm squeaking.
I'm squeaking. I'm hopeful that my squeaks will get some attention.
Okay.
I haven't been squeaky for a while, but I've decided, like I told y'all the other day, I'm going to start being the squeaky wheel until this issue gets resolved. We have until May of 2026 to get it. That's the end of our contract period. And so they have got to figure out what else they need from us. We've got everything.
Okay.
And I've got the emails showing where I plugged into the Dropbox and where they said they couldn't access it and where I sent them an email back with a link and where they confirmed that they were able to access it. That was in October. November, October. So I became squeaky wheel yesterday.
All right.
What is today? So yesterday. I don't think you know it on Sunday. No, I didn't know it on Sunday.
I think you've been squeaking for longer yesterday.
Well, but I've I stepped up my squeaky wheel yesterday. Got a higher coach. I did.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bell. Any questions under HMP? Resilient Communities Program, RCP. I've got no updates. Is there anything from the court on progress under RCP?
I've sent Mr. Bass another email. I haven't heard back. Asking how the Road and Bridge Department has several things they want to implement in new subdivision regs, but they want to make sure it's legal. And I know he's busy. but I see him a couple. Hopefully, I'll hear back from him. So, anyway, other than that, no.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else under RCP?
Judge, I noticed I went on to Tiger yesterday. I was hopeful at some point that our grant administrator is going to take over our monthly reports on that. I logged on yesterday and realized that our February report for student work still has not been filed yet. I certainly know how to do that. I've been doing it for about 18 months now, but I keep thinking they're going to take that over. I don't know.
I thought we had resolved that several months ago.
To judge, but then I look every month and it doesn't get filed, so I feel obligated to file it because I don't want us to get ugly email. And so this month I said I'm not filing it. Well, here it is 24th and it's still the 5th and it hasn't been filed yet. I checked yesterday.
Okay. I think I might be able to assist you with that. Nope. No thanks. Yes, sir. But anything else? All right. CDBG MIT, we've had submission. We just received our 5th paperwork draw on it. And again, that's the 4 projects that fall under 4/3 that fall under Gatesville, Coppers Cove, Coryell County. And I believe we've received, right now, it's all engineering and administrative is what's been billed and paid out. And we've got paperwork pending to submit for reimbursement on some of those funds. But currently, although there is activity moving forward at the local level as far as engineering and cost analysis, there is no forward movement on that from a FEMA level, but the state is still engaged and we are receiving our reimbursements from the state underneath this. Any questions under the CDBG MIT?
That's right.
Okay. D, FEMA, DR 4781. There has been basically no progress since our last meeting. However, our reimbursements totaling up to this point are a little over $800,000. I believe there's another $70,000 draw that we have coming that's associated with that. So we are making progress on the reimbursement side of that. But I doubt that there's going to be a whole lot of activity as far as where we are with the mitigation projects that have been submitted, because our partners at the federal level are not funded right now.
We've had a little bit of coordination with FEMA, Judge, not much, because they're running a skeleton crew. Two of our projects, the low water crossings and bridges, the bridges, as soon as they come back to work, I can't remember the exact dollar amount, 300,000, give or take, and low water crossings, 300,000. But once they get back to work, we've been going back and forth on our scopes of work. The bridge one's done. We're actually performing the work now. Low water crossing one, we're still kind of cleaning up some of the scopes of work with them. I think once those two, and I think the bridge one was in CRC, had made it up a few steps, so it was just about ready to come back down. Shutdowns stalled all that. They got partial shutdown on the federal side. Should be looking at about 1.5 as a total as soon as they get back to work. I would say within 60 days after they get back to work, probably be looking to receive that. Much we can do with no employees there.
But I appreciate what y'all are doing when they're not. So, questions from the court on item number D? Okay. Under the Leon Cowhouse Flood Project, I've received no updates from what Mr. Manning told us from a couple of weeks ago. Just pending next stakeholders meeting that would involve TDEM, Texas A&M, and local stakeholders. So questions under the item number E? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 10, which is to consider bids for RFQ 26-01 Engineering and Architectural Services. I believe we've submitted those score sheets to Mr. Belt. Have you had time to calculate scores relating to the five respondents under that RFP? I did not have them prepared.
And I have those for the time.
Okay.
Plan Builder and Schoenberg Bulk Health Score 373. MRB was a 363. Urban Infrastructure Group 344. And Bendiceon Engineering was 328.
So Kleinfelder. And who was the other at 373?
Schoenberg and Bulk.
In my subject, we have classes that we break ties by who this and this instance we don't. But the highest score received by either one of those was 100 for Kleinfelder, and the lowest score received by either one of those was an 85 by Sean Barker and Polk. If it makes any difference.
So,
well, given that there's two, and this is what the court makes decisions on, is it was objectively graded, subjectively graded. Everyone had their input. Given that, we do have, a requirement to go through the, procurement process. I would entertain a motion that supports the selection of one of the two that graded the highest. And with that, we can have some discussions. And then we vote on that. Because I do believe that everyone scored these sheets independently, and it came out to be a tie. So we vote to break the tie.
Go ahead. We have a little discussion first.
Certainly.
Yeah, I think. Because I had a couple of questions. First, Mr. Belt, haven't we in the past, under engineering for just engineering services, been able to choose two? Would that be?
So our general engineering contract that we went out for to find engineers for a suite of services that the county needed, we did choose all three that applied. They had different specialties, I think, and y'all discussed those, as far as water or subdivision.
Yeah, but that's kind of what I was referring. I remember we did that once before.
But in this is in support of a grant program.
Right.
That we're going to have to choose one.
All right.
Because this is in support of that grant application process, and we will have to choose one in this case. But yes, we have done that in the past, awarded multiple qualified entities, and then we negotiated a contract with each one of those entities at their rates. All of those, because they were a suite of services, were pretty much hourly rates. And we've used, in truth, I think we've used all three of them for different things over the last two or three years, however long it's been. So that's worked well.
And then just sometimes I have to we'll enter into contract negotiations with the winner. If those fall through, then it would default to maybe enter into contract negotiations with the second place person.
That's correct. Yes. Okay.
But to be clear, okay, under the grant application, There's very little contract negotiations to go through. The grant stipulates what the maximum, you know, is allowed under the grant.
Okay.
If they asked for something above and beyond that, then there may be some negotiation, but they will know, they will see the number that is specified as the maximum allowed under the grant, and they either choose to accept that or not.
Okay.
Right. Yes, in this case, there will be very limited negotiations as far as the rates and such.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Matthews.
I just wanted to start. I make a motion to award the RFQ 2601 engineering and architectural services to a client over.
I'll second.
Okay. Do you want to flip a coin between? Okay, we've got a motion from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Weddle for selection of Kleinfelder for engineering architectural services under RFQ 26-01. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 11 on the agenda is to consider resolution CC 26-02, resolution supporting the application for funding under the Texas Historic Courthouse Preservation Program. That resolution went out in your packet. This is, I don't know if you want to call it the first or the second step, but it's kind of concurrent with the courthouse master plan. This is, which was submitted, the final draft was submitted March 13th. And have not heard anything back from the Texas Historic Commission at this point from the items that they had questioned within the original plan, the original draft. So to that end, the next step in this is the submission of a grant application for planning. And planning would involve, once the approval of the courthouse master plan, planning then takes that master plan. We procure engineering and architectural services to do all the design drawings that meet all those criteria that are designated within the master plan. Replacement and restoration of flooring, replacement and restoration of doors, windows. If you remember Alexis talking about bringing in a team that will do finishing, paint analysis of what kind of paints and stains and those things. All of that rolls up into the construction plans or construction documents. So with that, this resolution is the county's commitment to one, submit that application, and then meet our proportionate amount, which I believe we're at, I believe 50% is what we were under planning, but I'd have to double check that. It's either 50 or 50-50 or 80-20. But again, that also, once we got to the phase of procuring for actual restoration plans, anything that we've been awarded under planning reduces that overall amount, and that amount currently sits at $10 million. Questions or comments?
I make a motion to accept Oriole County Resolution CC 26-02, Oriole County Courthouse Preservation.
Got a motion to approve the resolution from Commissioner Basham.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on resolution CC 26-02? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 12. Is to consider court order CC 26-03, which is order extending the declaration of local disaster for the Gatesville Fire. If you recall, on March 17th, I issued a declaration of local disaster. The purpose and intent of that was that the city of Gatesville had reached out to Commissioner Basham, Road and Bridge about some assistance, emergency assistance to be able to open up Highway 84, and it was going to require the utilization of county assets in order for us to be able to do that, which in fact would require, because that's something outside of any interlocal agreement that we have that would have helped facilitate that. So I issued the local disaster as part of a cooperative effort. And as you can see that, you know, as I previously stated, you know, those kind of local efforts, cooperative efforts, allowed us to respond much quicker than many larger municipalities could be able to do that. So to that end, there is still planning. There's still recovery operations ongoing. You know, fires are still smoldering out there. But so that we can leverage county resources and assets in an effort to assist the city of Gatesville. And don't be mistaken, I believe they currently have their own declaration as well. But so that we can assist the city of Gatesville, we would need another declaration to extend the order that that I posted on March 17th.
Make motion to extend CC 2603.
Got a motion to approve the court order CC 26-03 from Commissioner Matthews. Second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 13 is to consider proposals for county website hosting to meet ADA compliance. This is an item that we had previously discussed several months ago, and I didn't want to let it drop off the radar screen because we've got some deadlines coming up. In your packet were two proposals. One of those is from Texas Association of Counties. We currently have a county website under the Texas Association of Counties. The tax assessor collector has a website under BIS. The county clerk has a website under BIS, and the sheriff's office has a website under somebody that I do not know. But they are a completely different.
Just you know, on this BIS, is that going to the same price they have, or is that going to be for 3 years, kind of like with TAC or Texas Association of Counties just said, because they've got three. They got 26, 27, 28 BIS.
Well, I'm gonna try to be able to answer that. Let me kind of get to that point. So what we have is under TAC, their proposal includes bringing in the tax assessor collector, our current website, the county clerk's website, as well as the sheriff's office website. That brings in all of those entities under Texas Association of Counties. The BIS is just covering bringing in the county's main website and the sheriff's office because they already have two other entities in there. So those, the tax assessor as well as the county clerk have been funding theirs. So it's a kind of a carryover. It's a pass-through. And that is where you're going to see one of the big costs, or why there's a, you know, essentially a big cost difference between the transition, because BIS is not having to transition two elements because they're already providing those services. TAC would have to transition all of those. And what you see within the TAC proposal is that we could transition this year. And the transition cost is listed at $15,950. That's the migration, if you will, and ADA compliance. Then there's a $1,550 annual hosting fee, and $670 is posting that's prorated for a four-month period. If we chose to stay with what we have, then under TAC and migrate in 2027, then you follow the next column over, which is $15,950 for one-time migration fee in 2025. Annual hosting goes from $1,550 to $9,550, which we're going to pay. We would pay in 2027 regardless. So even if the $1,550 that we would pay for 26 would go to $9,550 in 27 and 28 as well. So we would have a total cost if we migrate in 2026 under TAC. We're committed to $18,170 for the year. If we maintain with what we have under TAC, we're at $2,220 for the year, but we would then pay a cost of $25,500 in 2027. So then BIS, again, because we have some elements that are currently being managed by BIS, is that their elements are rolled up into a fee to transition over their development and setup fees of one time for this year is $2,250. The homepage yearly services is $3,600. And the ADA compliance services is $1,500. So we would pay as part of this year to transition $7,350 with an ongoing amount just for those elements. And this does not include the tax office and the county clerk's office. So then we would anticipate budgeting $5,100 as our annual service for county's main website, sheriff's office being migrated over, and tax office and county clerk's office. We would have to we should pull them in, but right now they're for this year they would continue to pay for their own services.
Our total, if we went with BIS for everything, what would that be?
To transition over for this year is $7,350.
Well, I mean, yearly after the transition.
$5,100.
We know, I know we know.
That's everybody, because two elements are already covered. So this is the additional. So right now, out of the general fund, we're not specifically paying for the tax office and the county clerk's office.
Right, but I mean, if we moved everything to this BIS and we covered the sheriff's office or the tax office and the other one, what would our total be yearly?
I don't know the answer to that.
That's hard to make a decision if we don't know that answer, in my opinion.
Well, Mike, yeah, I was going to have the exact same question. What are we currently paying for the county clerk and the tax office?
Yeah,
I saw a bill this month for, I think, BIS and the payments for $750.
Yeah.
Mine is $1,400 a year. The $750 was $88.
$1,400 a year. This is where I would normally. $6,500. I know exactly where you're going. Because our ongoing rate,
what everything's going to be, right?
Yeah, you know, with that, we know it's going to be 95.
It's all included in what the number is. Sir. With that one, what's the yearly fee? Not counting the migration.
Mm-hmm.
What is our yearly cost if everything was with BIS?
Well, the only one that we're lacking is due out is tax.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You calling him?
Yeah. Text. Are you texting him?
Yes.
Texting.
Okay. No.
Now there you go.
Yeah, I know there's again. I know it was like
yeah.
Big ball of yarn, you never knew where the end was at. That's all. Yeah, with all their stuff.
Ed, I think it's probably worth you know, talking about how those folks that have BIS feel about their service without a website hosting compared to those that use PACS current website that they host for us.
It's a little different.
I don't know the, I hear things, but I haven't specifically sat down and interrogated them about those things, but I think that would be very important for the court. I mean, you know, there's a little bit of difference in the money sounds like, but I, you know, it's not big money. How do they feel?
Ms. Newton, can I ask how you feel about BIS?
Well, I can tell you about ours. Yeah. We can't go back to tech. They cannot support the systems that we run through our website, which is why we went to BIS. BIS is user-friendly, point and click, and you upload, tech is not.
So you like BIS?
Absolutely.
Is BIS, don't they host an ad?
Mm-hmm.
I think Mr. Crowther's response is probably going to be pretty much the same as me.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And, you know, as we move forward and transition, I don't mean just talk about it some, you know, like things like on site facility applications, things of that nature, as we move forward and try to be more user-friendly and have more opportunities for people to file things through our website and electronically. It may be a little more money, but I think based on the past performance, if it's not a huge amount of money, I think we'd be better off moving forward with something a little different, a little better.
I suspect it's going to come in below or really close. Just and I've heard the same thing. You know, it's very difficult in the current, you know, CIRA to make changes to update. And I will admit the BIS is a much prettier, you know, and when I go to a website, that's what I want. I want something that's very easy to see, very quick to click. And I will say, I do not like our current homepage. You know, just even trying to find one of the different offices is very difficult. There's not a clear, okay.
I make a motion to go with BIS.
We've got a motion to approve the selection for BIS for website hosting from Commissioner Basham. Second from Commissioner Matthews. Is there any further discussion under item number 13?
Really, I have to know what that tax office number is. Let's just assume 5,100 plus 15.
He said they will start paying for their website on April 1st, and it'll be $5,600 per year. I believe we can negotiate that down because we are doing the whole county. Because that would wrap up all of it under one. And then I do believe that Mr. Crowther's had some previous agreements where some of his credit card payment collection fees were paying the BIS bill. That being said, even in the short term, you're talking about the migration costs. Or 10,000 or more or less. That's
pretty good cushion there for you.
You know, it would take us another approximately 8 years
Yeah, that's what I was.
To offset that cost. You know, even if you said there was $1,000 difference between the two, well, that's 10 years.
Based on what we know, they bring them up to 12,100 a year currently.
And I think that that can be.
Yeah, so that's. $2,550 a year difference. Well, yeah.
That's 9,000.
4 years to.
550.
To make up the difference. What?
Tax 9,500.
Yeah, 9,550.
But the one time fee, the $15,950 insurance.
Yeah. A minute of you.
And something to judge on this, it would be, I guess, it would be a contract for 1 year or 3 years or. Is it? What is?
Well, it's initially going to be a 1 year contract for the migration over, and then the negotiation and talks with them will be on, you know, what does that annual requirement look like? I would not bring anything to you that is less than 3 years, because there's just some inherent, you know, cost savings to a multi-year contract, but that would be a separate contract to be approved. So really, the right now, what we're
so basically, if we didn't like what we were getting, we can go somewhere else.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll cost you because you have to do their migration fee again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can change it.
Well, this would be the second website migration in. 7.5 years, 7 years. Last time we did this was 2019, I believe. So I believe we had a motion from Commissioner Basham. Was there a second?
There was.
Was from Commissioner Matthews. Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. item number 14 is a discussion item concerning the Precinct 3 constable vehicle. We have Constable Daniel here with us, and I'm going to let you kind of update him, or him to update you.
Yeah, I apologize. I'm Constable Precinct 3. Got some papers on my handout real quick here, buddy. I was trying to get it emailed, but it was a struggle. Thank you. I said, okay, for great.
Oh, it's pretty great.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate it. Military operation. I wanted to try to hear by as much information as I could. Stuck together there.
I got that one.
Oh, you did get
it. Yeah.
There's my paper that was missing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let's try that. There.
At the end of last year, my current vehicle is a 2016, so it's 10 years old, so I'm still has it. It was prepared with a previous possible. Prior to my taking office, I guess the vehicle was in power forces when we're out on properties, wherever we're driving across country, we're the county vehicle. That being said, somehow went over through the pasture and the front tire of this one got ripped off and then all. Damaged pretty badly, is what I understand. Before my time, they did repairs. The picks never been in the right sense. Well, that we said with COVID hit, vehicles sit parked for a couple of years or however long it was, all prior to me. And when I got it, it was in very poor repair. I've done everything I can to put it up to speed and get it going. I've been told that it was last year was going to be the year to get a new vehicle finally, and then budget as it is, it went bad. So that being said, I've tried to put band-aids on bleed, on lacerations, or whatever I could do to keep the vehicle going. It's quickly sinking at this point. We have a transmission that's going out. Transmission, I did a check, it's estimated at 66.99 so almost $6,700 for a new transmission. The AC is also leaking Freon, and we've been doing about $110 a month, whatever it was, estimation there. Refill the Freon about every 4 to 6 weeks, and now it's bleeding even now more frequently. Finally, a high pressure line blew last week. I ended up using about a fourth of my budget on my vehicle maintenance to repair this one line, to be told that, all right, you've said the days, now you got weeks to maybe a few months before your AC is going to go out because it's still leaking. It's just not leaking quite as bad. But the engine is still bleeding. That being said, I didn't want to fix it. Tires were bad on it, so I had to replace tires. That being said, my maintenance budget now is down to $500. If I get a flat tire, I'm a little grounded. Going on with that, it's kind of become an emergency now. The vehicle is the same vehicle that the other precinct four had. They just auctioned his vehicle last month. They had similar problems, transmission on his one out also. And they got $5,500. I don't know where that $5,500 went, but I would ask in consideration that maybe we put that towards, if we auction mine and it comes out comparable, that would be almost $11,000 towards the new vehicle that we could utilize without even cutting the county's future money. So we $5,500 there, $5,500 from the new vehicle, hopefully, if it auctions well. And then that brings us to the last page. And this is the items. I've been searching all over, and I finally found the vehicle on the ground in Austin. It's a 2026 Chevrolet pickup. It does have the buckboard. It needs the needs of my office to be able to move and be a good quality vehicle, is what I see, and something I can utilize for many, many years and pass on to the consoles after my time. But that being said, what we have right now is a sinking ship, and it's going to end up leaving me stranded or become a problem coming. The summer months are coming, and the AC is going out, and it's not really professional to drive around with your windows down because you can't keep the car cool. That all being said, I did find a vehicle in Austin on the ground. So four-door Chevrolet pickup, and it's the 71,000 reflects all the upgrades and everything else. It's going to be about 50. Let me give you the numbers off of it really fast. $51,987 is for what they're looking at for the vehicle. So I can't find, I haven't been able to find anywhere close to that on any other prices. And the good thing on this one, it is on the ground in Austin at this time. So that, I don't know how long it's going to be there, but it was there yesterday. For $51,000, it's on the ground. We don't have to pay delivery costs, county costs, or all these other fees that they like to spill on to us, and that is delivery. I stripped the light bar down that they were recommending. I took off the front light bar. I took off some of the lights. I do want to, all I'm asking for is for 360-degree lighting because I do work a lot of car accidents, assist the agencies. My vehicle, I don't want to get hit or become a danger in any way to the public or myself. And so I've reduced the lighting as much as I could and trying to keep in mind I removed a front light bar off of it. I did put a push bumper onto it because of some of the things we're dealing with. And all the deer out here, we don't need to be replacing this Chevrolet pickup because of the deer. That being said, the total price for this with light upgrade and everything is 71. I didn't go. I know it says That's the things you want to do. Back page of the Phoenix thing is 19120. I want to show that that 19120 is not just flashing lights. The 19120 is they've increased the mandates of our agencies. All agencies now have to have shields. We all have to have breaching tools in our vehicles for active shooter situations, and they've mandated that as of last legislation. So I do need storage area in my vehicle for my AR-15, my shotgun, shields, and tactical gear, because they're wanting every police car to have that now, because they want you to breach a school. If you get rolled up on, you're first there, they want you to go to breach into a school, and they mandated it for every agency. Like I said, I minimized anything I could think to minimize as far as lights. Got that price down to around $14,000 for the upgrade, and that's even $1,000 of just manual labor and everything. The numbers, the upfit is $19,120, but that does include the storage compartments in the back lot storage where I can have the breaching tools, the things needed to operate, and also my long rifles to be able to secure them properly where people can't break in and steal the guns out of the vehicle. That has become a problem here recently, unfortunately, but we're trying our best to secure that. And that would put them all the weapons under a double lock, a pull-out drawer, and also a bed cover. I don't know where else I could cut this. I can say in 2027, you're probably going to be adding another $20,000 or so to this price tag, because this is last year's vehicle. Coming into next year, prices are not going to go down. So I think this is going to be worse next year. That's why I'm bringing it to you now. I don't know if my vehicle, I've been told it's got, and instead of days left, I've got weeks, maybe months. If we're able to purchase this at this time, it would save the county money in the long run. A lot of money, in my opinion. I mean, almost today, the state of our budget and everything, I understand the concerns, but I also understand that while waiting, we're just hurting ourselves that much worse. This is what my agency needs to continue to function in a professional manner. I run a very lean ship, and I do everything that's been and try to make this thing. But the vehicle is a major, major, major part of the constable being able to function and do its duties. And when I need to get where I need to get, whether I'm on property trying to execute a writ or whatever, I don't need to be worried if my vehicle. Yesterday I come to work, I had to go out there and jump start my car. So that's my battery going out next. The system kind of not still money where you've got to jump off and oh, I shouldn't have to jump up down the vehicle. So it's not as short as this vehicle is planning out. It's 11 years old almost, and it's not comfortable. And I have a feeling I'm just asking for situations to go worse. And I'd hate to have to put this money. He said the vehicle auctioned at $5,500. We're talking just in these two repairs, and it does need other repairs, but they're minor, you know, like battery, stuff like that. But it does have tires on it now. I had to put the tires because they were getting bald. They were unsafe, and I'm not going to drive an unsafe vehicle. The county deserves better than that. So put the tires on, put that, but unfortunately, with the way we cut our, for the yearly budget, I'm three-fourths way through it, well, in a third month. I don't know. I'm open for your questions.
I have no questions. We had our discussion the other day about this. I mean, this is a discussion on this agenda. It's discussion only, really.
Yeah.
But someone else may have questions for you, but we had our discussions the other day. So, thank you.
I guess I'll kind of be the bad guy here, and I'm not trying to be the bad guy. This is not during preliminary talks from the budget last year. You indicated to myself, as well as the auditor, that you could get through this year with the vehicle you had. Is that correct?
I did. Yes, sir.
Okay. And so there was not inherently a vehicle request that was submitted for the court to consider as part of this budget year.
No, sir. I was, when I brought it to the auditor, I brought in the estimates, which were like the transmission estimate is $500 less than it is now. The way the budget is right now and the way the world's going, it's went up $600. I was basically told when I brought the receipts in and said, hey, this is my situation. It never come across the commissioner's court. It never was brought to y'all. Because it was at the auditor's level when I approached him with it. It's like, you can jump on the sinking ship, but it ain't going to go anywhere. And I felt that it was a waste of the commission of my time, the court's time, because I know y'all's hands were tied at that point. At that point, I was private, take it easy on it, do the best I could to get through the year. And I continue to do that. I'm going to do that if that's what y'all tell me to do. That's why I went and bought the tires. I did not intend to jump off the ship. However, when you're going down the highway and you go to give gas and your RPM jumps from 4,000 to 7,000, and then jumps back and it doesn't know what it wants to do, it's telling me I need to let somebody know. And I wanted to at least bring it in on this discussion to let everybody know where I'm at. Not that I'm okay and everything's just going to get better. It's just going to get worse. But I do not like to present a problem to the court without submitting a solution. And this is a solution as best I can see. We're looking at a $50,000 vehicle, which will probably, who knows what it'll be next year. I'm not going to get into the automotive business. I can tell you that nothing's getting cheaper. And what I'm hearing, four stories about the 27, what they're going to cost in 2027 for a new vehicle, new truck at that point. This is, like I said, it's a leftover that was happened to be on a lot up there, a police lot or same, whatever they think. And it's the same location that the Sheriff's Department purchases their police vehicles from. And so I reached out and this is what we came back with. And there's not many of these left. Because everybody's probably seeing the same thing I'm seeing, this next year is going to be even more expensive and more cost to the taxpayers. And I want to do everything I can to help the taxpayers, but also need my office properly funded. I can't just, I try to pick my battles, as I say. So I've learned that in this business right now. Only my second term of being elected, but you pick your battles. And this is one I feel like I need to make a stand on, because if that vehicle goes down, I'm being told it's 6 months to get another one on the ground. Outfit it, get ready to go, everything's good. This one, since it's in Austin, they would still have to upfit it, still 3 months out. If I wait till next budget season, is what I'm being told now. Wait till next budget, say it gets approved on the next budget. It's still going to be June or July before I receive it. Now we're talking 18 months out, and at 18 months, what I'm being told now, nobody said years. They said your vehicle's got months left. You put a few Band-Aids on it, you replace the high-pressure line for expensive, $500, and I replace the tires, $700-something there, and I'd like to get some miles on those tires for sure. I plan to, because they're telling me even with this, if it's sitting on the ground in Austin, still got to pick it up, take it to the outfitters and get it outfitted. And they're estimating 3 months at least for that. I was told probably June, July delivery is what they're expecting. And that's if I'm looking. So that gives me 3 months. If I go the other way, I'm looking at 8 months, and I don't see any way the vehicle's going to last that way. Not as quickly as it's deteriorating at this time. With the transmission primarily. I mean, I'm not against driving around with windows down. I don't like it, in Texas summer, but it is what it is. And I'm not gonna stop doing my duties in my office because my AC quit working. It doesn't make it very comfortable when you're wearing a bulletproof vest and all your other equipment. Now, that being said, like I said, this is as bare bones as I could get it. And I would suspect that next year you can add another at least 10,000 to this between what the prices of the vehicle's going up, prices of the equipment that has to be installed in it. Like I said, I did cut the lights down as much as I could to where I could add the barriers to protect the weapons, to put the bed cover on and put the block covers on the back. Considering the amount of equipment there, the legislation is now mandating for us to carry in our vehicles, reaching tools. I have a rifle vest, a tactical vest that I wear over the top of this in case I'm against high-powered rifles. That's a pretty large bag. It's not that I could just put a little toolbox in the back of the truck and be okay with it. It needs to be organized where I can function and get to it, not be digging through the back of my truck trying to find my tactical vest when I'm involved, and hopefully I never will be involved, but I plan for the worst in the line of business that I'm in. They call me to school, I don't want to be in the route to the school trying to pull out, dig through my toolbox to find my practical gear. I would rather be organized and be able to get in so that they can stop at every 5 minutes. That being said, I need function build, and that's what I'm doing.
A couple of years ago, we did a vehicle replacement between Constable Precinct 1 with a sheriff's office vehicle that had been replaced or that we were cycling out. Has anyone reached out to the sheriff's department based off of vehicle purchases that we've made for replacement vehicles for them this year to see if any of those are still on hand and what the condition might be?
I have reached out to him to get him to the next budget. They don't have any right now, but there are supposed to be 5 or 6 being delivered. I've had that discussion. They're trying to work through that, but I don't have the definitive answer to say that any of them would be any better than what he's currently operating in to get him to that next budget. As soon as they get them, they'll be able, they'll let us know. But yes, I've been in talks with us.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
I've also been doing the same thing with the sheriff's department. Speak with them. They're telling me that they don't have anything that's any better than what I had. Most of them they're badder than what I have. They're worse. And considerably worse, and it'd just be a future maintenance issue. The ones that were coming in, they were even looking at if there was any way they could move it around, but right now they don't even have an extra vehicle for their deputy, is what I was told this morning when I was talking to them. And so they kept the new vehicles as they hit the ground, it'll be quickly. So we call it hot seating when you have to get out of your vehicle every day at the end of the day and pass it to the next officer, which is terrible for the vehicle, but it comes down to that sometimes. For short periods, unfortunately, it's terrible on the vehicles. And like the quote was, if we get anything more than where we're at right now, we'd be hot seat because we're just going to be balancing in the past. And one deputy goes off duty, like they have keys, another deputy and keep going. And that was with the new vehicles as they come in, and I address that with this so this morning.
Any other questions for Constable Dana?
Would a Dodge Durango Pursuit or pickup, as opposed to a pickup?
I feel that in a few years it would be the same issues as we're having right now, because I'm finding myself going across a lot of pastures and a lot of things executing these writs. And like I said, I'm definitely functioning. It's just as important as it is the Sheriff's Department to get to where they need to go on their call. I need to be able to function and move to my locations. I think a truck is much better suited. I just came from a training event with constables, and 90% of them all driving trucks now. And they all the same thing, is the cars get beat up, they get broken down, and you know, we become future maintenance. Like I said, within a short amount of time after we received this one, the front tire and front axle got ripped underneath it, going across a field or a pasture. And I just, as careful as you can be trying to get across those things, the vehicles are not set up for off-roading to where they are. This truck, one thing that I did look at was this is a 4x4. And to find a 4x4 at $50,000 is unheard of almost. And that's what I would like to do because I really, if I'm stuck out there, I don't, being stuck in a pasture is no way to be, especially when you're by yourself out there a lot doing this job.
And that's what I was trying to explain earlier. I'm not trying to cut you off or just be disrespectful. It's just we have it as an agenda item as discussion.
Yes, sir.
So it's not like an answer necessarily is going to come today anyway. But, and I'm not trying to make light of it at all, but Ford screwed it all up when they got rid of the Crown Vic. But it didn't matter. You didn't need Ford driving that Crown Vic. It could take you wherever you wanted to go. But they stopped making them. So, those Ford people blame it on him. I blamed it on him a long time ago when they put me in a Charger.
Throw the Crown Vic for a long time.
Yeah. Thank you. But anyway.
Thanks at this.
Yeah.
The 4x4 caught my attention on this. I kind of outfitted myself in a way that I was looking at the other counties. A lot of them are not even as rural as Coral County can be. Some of the places I found in with taking my patrol car I have now, I'm wondering if I'm going to get back out, if I'm going to have to call a wrecker to come get me out of that mess. I think a lot of times I've actually parked the car and walked down in the mud because I'm like, I thought my car were risking danger and tearing it up. And so I'm very cautious. Like I said, I've been constable now 5 years, and in that time, my wheels still go round and round. So I'm doing my best to keep it going. And I'm bringing it to y'all as a discussion because sure. It has come to the end of the path. And there's very few of these vehicles left at this point because everybody sees the need. And I'm really concerned if I'm going to make it through the end of the budget season now, especially the last week and a half. I mean, I don't know. I got to go back up there to Gossett's and say, is there anything y'all could do to adjust this or make this work better? Because I was on the fire scene until 4:45 in the morning, and I don't know what it was, but after I left the fire scene driving home, 4:45 in the morning, I could it sit there, which I had to idle all that time, the lights going at the fire, and it was definitely declining performance. And unfortunately, when I came back into it yesterday, it was still performing badly. So I don't know what it just boiled. I don't know. I'm not a transmission guy. I just know it ain't working. When I push down, it doesn't go like it's supposed to. And so it's disconcerting. And that's why I'm out on this as for the discussion here, is because I wanted to let y'all know at budget season that this was going. I was hoping to make it another year. Answer the judge's question in very long form, but hopes and what happens is usually two different things.
I'm looking at classic Chevrolet and red bone.
Classic Chevrolet and green.
Okay, anything else for Constable Daniel?
About $10,000 cheaper than what you're looking at. And don't cut the whole time out to shit like pickups.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on to item number 15, discussion and consider a build out of office space for juvenile probation. Mr. Matthews.
Yeah, I asked you to be put on here because we're hitting us in the timeline pretty quick. It's been gutted. He's been over there and walked through it all, forwarded floor plans out to everybody. I think we finally got final rendition, if that's what you call it. But I think happy as we can be, right?
I didn't see the final, so I assume so.
I thought I sent it to you, but I'll double check it. I mean, I don't have it printed. I just sent it by email. But anyway, I'll double check it, but I thought, I'm pretty sure it's in there. But anyway, we got to have to do something. We're not going to have time. And so I asked for it to be on.
July 15th is the deadline?
I talked with Ms. Lunsman when we did the closing over here on the other building. She thinks that might get pushed just a little bit because I think it's going to take them a little bit longer to get out of the building that they're in right now. Technically, we haven't even closed on that building yet. So we have not officially sold that building. I believe that's correct. Mm-hmm.
No, still don't want to wait till we officially sold that building.
No, I don't think we need to.
We need to move forward with what we're going with. I
think finally getting that, and it's been on my to-do list, and so I apologize for that. But I'll go over and visit with Ms. Donahue about kind of the finish out. Because we have the diagram, we want to make sure that we've got the right flooring, the right ceiling, all that, so we can put that into an RFP and basically get this bid out and get them started.
Mr. Matthews, do we have any kind of an estimate on the build out yet, or of course, did we just? I know we just got
since it was talked about going to an RFP. I didn't put any numbers together because I mean I had original numbers, but if it's gonna go out to somebody, I'm not gonna waste my time doing the numbers. You know, that's my thought. If the county was to jump on it and try to get some leg behind it, Crossing Grass. Yeah, I would, but I wasn't going to try to figure somebody else's. I mean, if that makes sense, I would try to figure somebody else's numbers because I don't know what, you know.
Well, I know when we did the build out for this over here, we just used local contractors and got it done.
Moved it on, yeah. But yeah, I mean,
is it fair enough to ask you what you think a guesstimate would be?
Yeah, about $5,500 square foot.
And how many square feet?
On that one was, let me look it out again. I looked it up. There was part of it on some of that is not really counted, but some of that bathroom up front. Pulling up, sorry.
It's okay.
It's 26/11. Because some of that really is not really affected, but I mean, that's that red line of the main body of that building. That would be good. And that's simply because you're not having to put up your exterior, your roof, of course, there's going to be some air conditioning adjustment and possibly a new unit being put in there because of how it's
laid out,
you know, this potential.
That's figured with putting a sheetrock in, then it's a hard ceiling.
A hard pan.
Yeah.
I would do it as a hard pan. I wouldn't put that drop ceiling back in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can be framed up in a week or About 3 days. 3 days, yeah.
What I've been told, you know, one for every like 3 days, day and a half, 3 days.
It wouldn't take anything. But I just making sure everybody's aware that the deadline, whether we close on that building or not, is coming up. It's going to happen, I would think. So I think she'd probably be a little happier if she knew she had a home coach.
Because I know,
well, yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
I know the legislature changed the bid out process. Now a higher dollar value, correct?
It's 100.
100?
Yeah, 100,000.
And that's why I asked that question, because I mean, if I just took the $55 a square foot, mm-hmm. which I understand that. Mm-hmm. 2611, that's 143,605. I think that's where we get into, we've got to make sure, you know, of course, we've got to make sure we do it
right
under the statutes. I know you're on your thing over there, Mr. Belt. You got any advice on that? Because
we don't have two choices. In my opinion.
Stay under 100,000?
No, you have three choices.
Okay.
You have to do it yourselves and contract out. Individual contractors and somebody would have to manage it and make it through it, which is certainly an option. The only two options if you go out for bid are to either hire you a contract manager at risk or put together a bid packet and go out for bids
for DCs.
But you're going to need a spec sheet and all the things to do that.
This time.
And y'all don't have that presently. I don't know. I feel like we would need to get someone to draft that bid packet, make sure that all of our things were included in it, all of our finishes and everything were in it, to make sure we didn't miss something. Mm-hmm. Even if we put something together, we still need somebody to review it and make sure that all of it, everything was covered. It's lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And true. You know, our contract manager at risk, we've got a plan, set of plans, show it to them. They bring in a few bids on each service. Somebody chooses one, the lowest one or the best one, whatever, and move on. Pretty much three choices. I don't care which one.
But if we do it ourselves, do we put ourselves, if it's over the 100,000?
If you did yourself.
But one vendor is not going to get, the framer is not going to get 100,000. The
right.
Is on the other.
That's what, okay.
She's not going to get 100,000. Four bands, 100,000.
You answered my question. So we can, because I know we faced that before about that can be considered that we're piecemealing it out, but the total cost could exceed the 100,000.
I think that's where we get into an issue with 2CFR. Is if you anticipate that the project's going to be a $100,000 project, whatever the threshold is.
Yeah, it's I can guarantee you that. I was basing that 55 in my opinion.
On a GC.
Correct. Okay. On a GC, I would say 55. you got to understand they got to make money, Dan. They're not going to do it I saved the taxpayer money. They ain't going to do it that way. They got to feed them kids, put shoes on.
I forget you're an ex-police officer. I have to ask you the correct question to get the correct answer.
Sorry. I mean, that's all we've been talking about.
Yeah, so yeah, 55. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all we've been talking about. So a lot goes with, you know, all the plumbing, but, you know, the back plumbing's there. It's in place. The front plumbing needs to be adjusted some. To make sure it's ADA, you know, some adjustment there, but that's minute. You know,
really. No, they don't have to tear up the foundation or anything to run new lines or.
No, they shouldn't have to. You can cut off part of it and just open that up. As far as her discussion originally was, make it into a single bath up front instead of a single, whatever you want to call it, I call it bath.
A unisex.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you could make it ADA because it's in large enough. You just got to have that 5 foot turning radius in there. But I don't know. I just, all I'm saying is time is a ticket. And I know people are busy, and it doesn't matter if you contract it out to somebody, but if their people are busy, then you end up paying more and more because you're going to have people drop stuff. So
that's when they come in and start putting floor plates down, and they might come back 2 weeks later and stand the walls right. up.
Yeah. So anyway, I just put it on here because there's got to be some discussion. And there's got to be some thought process instead of kicking the can down the road.
I think it would move a lot faster if we have somebody with the county overseeing it. I know it would.
It'd be framed up by Friday.
Yeah, I can make a phone call. There'd probably be somebody there tomorrow. That's what we want to do.
When we decided to gut it, it was a windy day, and they called us. I called them. I said, hey, can you come in here and gut this? Windy, we'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, he said, it's going to be windy tomorrow. And they were gone. At 2 o'clock, they were gone.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, and on past experience, I thought the tax office went very, very smooth. It looks great. Yeah, we did some renovations in the tax office out in Cove also. So that doesn't, I just want to make sure we're staying within those dollar values, but if we think we can keep it under 100 and get it done, I'd be okay with that. And then who's going to oversee it?
Given, well, given the discussions I've heard, given the discussions I've heard from the court, so to make some parallels, before we engaged with the renovations of tax office, Mr. Carruthers had give us a cost estimates. And that came in below the threshold that we needed, we would hit for putting that out to bid. I believe we had a document that provided us with cost estimates that would meet the requirements of 2 CFR, because we could say that, well, we did some estimates and determined that we came in underneath that amount. That would allow us to go ahead and move forward. I'm not going to tell you that I'm looking at any case law that supports that. So you never know what the legal people would say, notwithstanding Mr. Belt, don't mean that. But I think we're in a defensible position if we say that, yes, we did our due diligence to do some cost estimate of what we could do. And we felt that it was the best value for our taxpayers. And then it becomes either A, we have someone internally that manages the project for us, or B, we contract for somebody to be the project manager on behalf of the county. There may be an option C out there, but I think those are the two that are most probable to be able to move forward. Is there any preference as to what the court, which direction the court might like to go?
I'd put a cost estimate together, and I think the court needs to just keep it internal and knock it out, because I think it's going to take you too long at this point. If we just started 2 months ago, I think it would. That is my opinion.
I think it'll be cheaper when you pull it out of the cell. You're cutting down a couple of people out of the process. They're not going to do it for nothing.
Nope. Who wants to get the contract?
Or do you have somebody?
I can sit down with Ms. Donna if you want me to and go through what she wants in there exactly and put some numbers together. If that's what y'all like, it won't take any time, really.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be an exercise in futility at all, Commissioner. I think you've got the judge's point, like what Justin did, came with some estimates. We always know estimates are estimates. And if we see that it's under the 100,000, so it's, I wouldn't say it's a no-brainer, but it certainly makes sense. It's 120,000, 140,000, 150,000, then we probably do have a...
Be it I helped him with that estimate, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
No problem. Or he, your sister, Mr. Tyler, excuse me. That's all I have.
Okay. Ms. Donahue, I don't want to move on without giving you an opportunity. Let's roll. Okay. And thank you for being here today. Appreciate it. One more time, anything else to cover on item number 15?
So you are going to do that? Get with her and go with it.
Anything else to cover under item number 15? Hearing none. Item number 16 on the agenda is to consider accepting a donation from Constable Sean Camp of $7.50. I believe you'd seen the documents relating to that that had gone out in your packet.
Make a motion to accept the donation from Constable Sean Camp of $7.50.
Got a motion to accept the donation from Commissioner Basham. And who did the second come from? From Commissioner Matthews. Anything else to cover under item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 16A is, where did I put them on? My sheet. Item number 16A is to review and discuss the current performance to budget for year 2026. And the statement expenses for month ending February 28, 2026. Commissioner Weddle.
Judge, since I've been on the court, I've always said that we should have quarterly budget review performance. So I just continue to put it on there and see if we can have a discussion about it. Any anomalies out there, anything where we see a train wreck coming before we get into September and everybody goes, oh, why are we 220% over budget? So just wanted to see if you guys have any, if you found any things that we need to take a look at.
Well, there is one on the bailiffs, and I had this discussion up with the chief bailiff.
Can you start page number?
3.
Thank you. A lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Fuel and oil and repairs and maintenance.
Yep, I had that same one highlighted.
I did visit with him, and he pretty much, the discussion that he said was he's telling the bailiff's department. So, and I thought that was a discussion during budget time that, because of the dire straits that those units were in, or that's what it presented as, because they wanted 5 or 6 new vehicles in there, that they were going to use them for work and work only, not as a means of transportation back and forth from the house. But apparently that didn't happen. But anyways, but that's what Mr. Haynes, when I visited him the other day, said that
they were doing.
Yeah, I had that one highlighted too.
Yeah.
And we're going to have some, I mean, because fuel prices.
Yeah.
Road and Bridge is going to see some squeeze on that also. We should be at, well, we are at the time of this report, which I got was February 28th. We should be at 41.7.
Right.
If you're spot on, you know, to budget.
The only one that I truly had, you know, there's some stuff under sheriff's office, you know, obviously would, yeah, but it's always with theirs, it's kind of moving money around, unfortunately.
Right.
It has been for years. Make the budget or whatever it is, but you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, animal control.
Yeah.
Animal control?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of, you know, and sheep, goats, they see a hole in the fence, they get out.
You sure that's not for good?
You know, you're right. It is. There's a negative there.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're doing
that was up. Okay.
We might have to give some of that money back, though. Feller found his mama's bull that we sold last year. We're in negotiations.
Really?
How much of that is getting back? Since we had to gather it, hold it, and sell it, and nobody knew where it come from.
Now,
it was out on 1113, not on the county road in the middle of nowhere. But me and Deputy Swilly talk regularly.
Yeah.
About animal control issues.
In fact, being one of the largest, you know, departments, they're at what 39.3.
Yeah,
which is pretty good.
Nope.
I do. I mean, this, you know, as they say, it makes takes crumbs to make a cake, and I asked a couple of folks yesterday, but the right people weren't here. I don't know the answer. If you look at some of our health insurance, and just if you look at the, you know, the county judge, you know, health insurance is at 41.7.
Mm-hmm.
Then you drop down to the commissioners, and we're at 55.3
mm-hmm.
year to date. I said, why? That shouldn't. I don't get why. And if you look down through there, there's just this inconsistent pattern of, you know, health insurance should be, I would think, spot on. The only thing would be is if somebody added.
Yeah, if you add.
If you
add. Then that's going to modify it.
Yep. I guess the thing in the future, we need to maybe account for that, you know, in the budget, because that just kind of upset me.
It usually comes out the wash because you'll have one department that has somebody add somebody, one department that has somebody take somebody off, department that has open position that's not on insurance for a while. And what we've always done in the past is budget for what we know as a budget time and then take the good and bad when it comes throughout the year through the various departments. And it's always kind of came out the wash. I don't know if that's the case this year or not, but it's always been the case in the past.
I get that.
Yeah. It is playing the averages. And because there is a statutory requirement, please don't ask me to quote it, but it says, you know, all of our positions have to be fully funded. We don't, in fact, fully fund them by position. We fully fund them by the person that's currently there. So we're, and I'll use county judge.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason that those numbers will line up exactly is because I don't take the county's health insurance. So there's only one other person, and she has made no adjustments to her insurance plan for the year. But hypothetically, let's say I became incapacitated, okay, and I could no longer fulfill the duties of the office, and the court appointed someone to be my successor for the remainder of this fiscal year. That individual could not be denied health insurance based off of what had been budgeted for me. So that being given, then the health insurance under the county judge's line would then go red because you cannot deny that individual health insurance. The averages that play out is as some employees leave a department, they may be on the family plan. And then the new hire is a individual. Well, we contribute different amounts to those.
Mm-hmm.
That's the averages. Some will come in that will be individual. Some will come in that are employee with children. Some will be employee with spouse. Some will be employee with family. And historically, as we budget for the year, if you look at department by department as an aggregate and the county as a whole, there will be either the correct amount or a slight surplus that meets those funding requirements.
That was the only two I really looked at in there. So, as far as the where we're sitting. I think one of the, so far, knock on wood, and I don't want to, well, I believe in jinxes. You know, one of the biggest things we always kind of, you know, wonder is about prisoner boarding. I can't seem to find my jail. Right, there it is. I like we're at 25.7% on prisoner board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we're starting to reap some of the benefits of that expansion. Now we're kind of seeing a, and it have, you know, food for inmates 39.4. So
it's been
a real, you know, heartache.
Yeah.
And so it looks like,
we're at halfway more, right? 6 months on.
Well, this is 3-5.
Yeah.
Okay. The paper now. Okay.
Yeah. March will be halfway. That'll be even a better view, because then you'll know exactly we should be at 50%, 41.7. And I know we focus on the general fund. You know, mostly that's because where most of the dollars are. But and again, this is for you guys. You know, we're at 38.1%. You know, overall, which I think is very healthy. When we could be at 41.7. And there's not any one single department that's just crazy. There's some things, you know, Justin, you know, fuel and oil. Fuel and oil. Have you figured any impact you're going to have with that yet?
Oh, I mean, we're still under on it, but yeah, there's going to be an impact.
$5 a gallon for diesel is
signed off for 2 weeks ago, $8,000 in one period. I mean, I'm more worried about repairs and maintenance on equipment.
They're, you know, be it their fleet and everything, it's a little different.
Yeah.
Not, you know, you can't watch it, but.
Yeah. Got to start taking this equipment in and out. Let's get ready. So. Yeah, 150 or 160 pieces of equipment. Now let's see if they can arrange them for air compressor.
Yeah, I mean, overall, you're 33.9.
We're backloaded, though.
Yeah.
Start firing up.
Oh, I know.
That's going to tank.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to see us, you know, do is if we're going to do budget amendments, that we do them almost even a little preemptive if we have to, and moving around between, you know, some of the.
Oh, there's going to be budget amendments.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm funding FEMA projects out of this maintenance budget, too. So there's going to have to be revenue amendments coming in to support that.
And I know some of yours is, yeah, front loaded, and some of it's back loaded. Like uniforms probably were front loaded.
Uniforms are fully staffed. That's why it's a straight line. Uniforms are consistent.
Right.
Judge, thank you, Luke Party, but I got a hot date. I do not have any information on the executive session. They have not sent this stuff from our lawyer or for our insurance carrier. So I have nothing on that.
Okay. Given that you've got a conflicting engagement, just want to make you aware we will not consider item number 20, and I'm going to make the bold assumption that you would ask that we do not take any actions on item 21 until we have a 20 or at okay. Is this something that because we've got an additional week between that first meeting in April, so okay, and all right, so we don't need to anticipate something special between now and then. Okay, all right, very good. Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. And I'm pretty much. I mean, I just I don't know how often you guys run this report, but it's a good one. Kind of gives you a really good snapshot.
Yeah.
Seems like travel. We're exceeding travel budgets in some departments, even though we cut them back. But at the end of the day, I guess as long as they're staying within their budget, we're all right.
Yeah.
But I was very happy.
Yeah.
When I saw the overall health of where we are. We still have some construction money left.
Mm-hmm. I know we've got some of the big project. I'd like to replace on that dome on the northeast side in the Hunting region.
Right.
And an elevator.
So. Hopefully, we can get some of the emergency grant money. Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else to cover under 16A?
All I've got is
good. Okay. Item number 17 is to pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $1,327,638.84.
Motion to pay bills.
Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion under item number 17? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 18 is reports. Commissioner Matthews.
Got a couple things. Again, I will say thank you to the Revenue Bridge Department for what y'all did the other day. We bought a new outfield. Still got to meet a couple of guys that were out there were added, but that is appreciative. And then prayers for our country with this refinery blowing up down there in Round Rock, or Rockville, excuse me. Caught on fire and then blew up yesterday. Luckily, as of yesterday, there was no injuries for that. So, but, you know, that just goes along the same line as the funeral and et cetera. Yeah, had a great walkthrough. I was proud that Goldsmith showed. The other day when we lost power, got them in the courthouse. They did a walkthrough. They found a few little minor issues. Then they came back directly the next morning. And those offices we couldn't get into, but they were minor offices. And the main was with county clerks, district clerks, two or three others. Anyway, we do need to talk here pretty quick about the Employee Appreciation Day in April, but it's just food for thought. So needs to be discussed at some point. I did walk with some adjusters on the roof here, met with several roofing companies on this roof as well. I know that Commissioner Basham had some documents. He's going to try to print those out today, but it's a mess. There's a lot of hail damage on the roof.
It is, but
so. And then an update on the 440th. They did do the microphone, I think it was Friday, whatever 20th was. I think that's Thursday. But anyway, they got over there, got them done. They were not, all their staff wasn't there that day because they had kind of like office work day or something. But anyways, they did have a bailiff and then, what's the lady? That was pro se, Rebecca. But anyway, she was there, and they went through that, and I think the microphone got up and running, no problem. That was what the district judges wanted because they couldn't hear my daughter picking the jury, et cetera. So anyway, that's it. That's all I have.
Hey, thank you, sir. Commissioner Weddle.
Well, Commissioner Matthews covered a lot of them, so good. I just, the way everybody came together, especially, like I said, it was, if we had one thing that's just kind of a note to us, we forget sometimes, you know, Sam Goldsmith said, something like this happens, call me immediately. Because we didn't think, he actually saw it on Facebook. And, so they were here, bright and early for sure. That's all I got.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Basham?
Yeah, same sentiments. I want to thank Road Bridge for all their hard work on the day. My thoughts and prayers go out to the people that lost their businesses. You know, that Leards had been there for 128 years. And I know the McClellan family and just it's our grateful mission here. And just thoughts and prayers for all the people that were affected by the fire. And God, thanks. If there's anything else, just pray for rain.
There you go.
Pray for rain.
We definitely need that.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Taylor?
I think everything's pretty well covered. I really bashing prayer for the business in Boston.
Judge, I do have one more.
Well, in his mind, you were through, and whether you were through or not, in his mind, you were through. He was.
Yes. Hey, Mr. Bass, hey, sorry for your hard time. Go ahead. No, seriously, that's a big hit, and hopefully everything works out smooth for him. And Pray for rain. Now I am finished, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. I appreciate that. I want to give a special thanks to Atmost. You know, when I reached out to him, they responded and got the food going here. And I could tell, he looked his eye, he was pretty overwhelmed. But they got the teams out here and got that gas shut off. It could have been a lot worse.
Well, they also brought in a temporary tank.
Yeah, because the jail commission didn't know if we did not have gas, they would be down here. So anyway, so we do have gas.
Has Atmos updated you at all on?
I am going to meet with them today.
Okay, all right. Has the jail given you any? Well, I guess it would come from Atmos. I guess they're the ones that are monitoring.
Yes.
How much?
6 to 7 days.
Is what we have left, or
how long will the crater fly?
So, well, that can't be, because it's been there. It's been there 7 days already.
Yeah. So, I haven't heard. They told me it would last.
Atmos is out to work.
Gonna visit with them today to see where they're at on
that. Okay.
Because there's actually two trotters, because there's another one that's running the gas for those houses behind the jail as well.
Yeah, and that's not, the generator is on diesel, so the other gas usage.
Electric
hot water heaters. I guess what are we talking about? It's over there.
Are the
hot water heaters?
Yeah.
Yeah. The new one electric and the new one.
Yes.
And then, probably stoves and a few other. It's probably not a huge use of natural gas.
I visited with them the other day. They were confident they were fine.
Any other Alabas?
No, sir. I'm good.
Give me a start and then you can jump in?
Yes.
Or,
good.
Okay. Because the first one does. Touch on you just a little bit. I've asked Commissioner Basham to take down all the courthouse lights so that you all understand when those cables are running, they're putting equal tension on the bell tower, because we have lost at least four cables. I've been advised that the longer we leave those cables up, that is going to put tension on the bell tower, and we certainly don't want to degrade its structural integrity any more than what already has been, because when those one of those walls fell, there was quite a bit of tension being pulled in the wrong direction on that. So to that end, I want to clearly defined expectations. Do not anticipate that we will have lights up at the courthouse for any of the summer activities to include July 4th, et cetera, because until we can figure out what Texas New Mexico is going to do about replacing poles, there's no way that we can run lights from the courthouse as we have historically done. So just wanted to make sure everyone is aware of kind of where we're going with that and what, because the future is unknown. I don't know. I have no idea what it's going to look like. I touched on briefly before about some of the responses, what the county will be doing to help coordinate assets for those businesses, as well as the city of Gatesville, through the Historic Commission, Small Business Administration, and Architects is who is doing our master plan. They've offered, some advisory services and some insight as to what can be done and what is effective or has been effective in the past in redeveloping that area. Two, that I want to squash some apparent rumors that are going on that have apparently become Facebook official. The county is not involved financially, professionally, or personally with the construction of a regional operations center. I was asked to be part of a groundbreaking ceremony over here, but there are no county funds, none of my personal funds, no funds of anybody that I know of that's a county employee that I'm aware of that's involved with the development, operation, or construction of that facility. Natural Resource Solutions did purchase that property from the county about 2 years ago.
About a year and a half ago.
And that was, they made that purchase above our asking price. And it was done in accordance with the statutes for selling a property. It had been listed with a realtor. That realtor operated on our behalf and brought us that offer. The other one is, I have not personally been engaged, and I'm not aware of anyone who has been engaged with actively recruiting a data center into Coryell County. Data centers are looking for spots all over the state, there is no data center that has directly said, we're coming to Coryell County. There's no data center that I have contacted to say, hey, we want you in Coryell County. I think those are case by case assessments that are done because there's lots of different designs for those. Some of them are more resource intensive than others. And I'll leave it at that. I think that's the highlights that I've got for today's meeting. I would ask before you leave if y'all would stop by, sign the minutes and documents. We did have two items, closed meeting executive session that we will not have. It is specifically under Texas Government Code Section 551.071, which has a requirement to consult with the county attorney. The county attorney is not present, therefore we cannot conduct that closed meeting under that section of the Texas Government Code. Consistent with that, there was the potential for an action item number 21, which is predicated on that consultation with the county attorney. Therefore, there will be no action to be considered under item number 21 because we are not doing item number 20. Therefore, that concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you.